Thank you. I have a lot of good questions here. Well, one of the first questions was, what happens when a parent is in early stages, weaves in and out of being lucid, and is in denial, not allowing me to give the patient the best care? This question touches on many different things. So I'm going to go through the questions in terms of stage of illness. This is an early stage of question. And the nice thing about this question is that it talks about when people first have memory problems and are not so aware of their deficits, or are aware but are not going to work on them just yet, they're not ready to work on them. The family members are in a delicate position, and you have to approach your elders very sensitively. When you talk about somebody being in denial of their illness, actually, people know when they've got a memory problem, and they're just once again confronting that fear and resisting believing that it's really happening to me. So once again, approach people very sensitively and offer support. The other side of this question is the weaving in and out of being lucid, and that's not so good. That's the medical part that we can look at again. Because we talked about how depression sometimes can look like memory problems, but another medical problem that comes up is delirium. Sometimes people can have a medical problem that makes them not be lucid. Sometimes people can become confused because of medical complications like a urine infection, a pneumonia, a bad cold. These things can make you more sleepy during the day and not be lucid. And these things can also make you look like you have a memory problem when actually it's the medical problem that's complicating your life. So refer anybody who's in and out of being lucid to their medical doctor for assessment of these small medical problems that can be fixed. And treat somebody who you see as being in denial of the problems with great sensitivity, and be persistent about helping them, but be aware and sensitive that they're not yet ready. Another good question, that we're moving into a middle stage, or early middle stage, was about for women. Because women are outliving men, and a lot more women are around to grow older and to grow older with memory problems. And we talked about estrogen replacement therapy for postmenopausal women. The question says, for a patient who has been taking tamoxifen, this estrogen blocker, for 5 years, for invasive breast cancer, is it okay to take estrogen replacement therapy after the 5 years? Is a plant estrogen, like a soy product, a substitute? Now, the problem with estrogen is double-edged as well, because although it is very helpful for postmenopausal women, it's not helpful for people who have breast cancer. So, that we wouldn't recommend estrogen for people who have breast cancer, or any gynecologic cancer, really. Is the plant estrogen a soy product, a substitute? I haven't seen anybody taking that in our clinic, and I've had to look it up in the med line to find out if that's been established as something safe for people who've had cancer. So that question, get back to me. Moving on into a kind of moderate stage, mild moderate, because mild moderate stages are when these medications that we were talking about are most effective, because you want to keep people better at the stage where they are pretty good. You don't want to keep people better when they're already very sick. Although, these medications are very important to give people and to continue taking throughout the rest of the lifetime. So the question was that I had mentioned 3 medications. The first was Aricept. And what were the other 2? And these 3 medications work similarly. And they're Aricept, Exelon, and Reminyl. These are complicated little words, but in the end, Aricept, the Aricept is the A-R-I-C-E-P-T. Exelon is E-X-C-E-L-L-O-N. And Reminyl is R-E-N-I-N-Y-L. Remanil and Exxon and Aricep, in the end, work similarly. Each drug manufacturer has a particular spin on how their medication is different. Exelon and Remanil are medications you take twice a day. Aricep you take once a day. Aricep sometimes disturbs people's sleep, so it's better to take it during the daytime, although sometimes people tell us exactly the opposite, so they take it at night. Exelon works on a chemical that's in your brain as well as in your stomach, in your GI tract. So sometimes people who take Exelon feel that they can't tolerate the diarrhea. On the other hand, Remanil is a medication that works two different ways in the brain, and it stimulates receptors as well as keeps the chemicals around longer. And it's thought that this medication is also helpful for people who have tiny strokes and memory problems associated with that. So that Remanil is now getting two different indications for memory problems. Another question, now we're moving into a more advanced stage of the illness. What can be done once the disease has advanced to the point where the patient can't communicate and can't take care of themselves? Are there any medications available for this stage of the illness? So this question brings up a couple of points. Personally, at Mount Sinai, we've been studying the time caregivers spend taking care of a person with memory disorders, in particular Alzheimer's disease. And we looked at this time spent caregiving in terms of the amount of time you spend supervising, the amount of time you spend communicating, dressing, bathing, grooming, and transporting the person to different appointments. So the thing that we noticed over the course of the illness is from when the person was in the mild stage, the caregivers were communicative, they had to supervise less, and as the illness progresses, when the patient's not communicating, the caregivers aren't communicating as much either. So that's something that Elizabeth Fine stressed was important, to continue to be supportive, encourage the person to participate in the activities that they like to do before. Now, what kind of medication could you give them at this point? Hopefully, at that point, they were still taking the Aricept and the medications to keep them better for longer from the beginning. Sometimes people become more agitated, and their medication is to give them to control the behavioral disturbance. Sometimes they resist your care, so you want to be able to keep them calm and comfortable. Because people who are in severe stages are suffering as much as they were before. They're maybe less cognizant of the suffering, but they do need to be made comfortable. That's the most we can offer them.
Thank you. We have a number of other questions to be answered, but I think in respect for Rabbi Weiss, who has been here throughout the program, and who has special expertise to offer us, I'd like to just defer the rest of the questions and answers until after he has an opportunity to share his expertise and advice with us. At this point also, I should like to just underscore something that is of importance and was referenced earlier, and that is the halakhic living will. In planning this program, I did contact the Aguda. The Aguda Digital of America has been active in designing the halakhic living will, and it has recently been revised. And I was curious to know what that meant should you have in your possession a signed document that had been in the previous version. So I should share with you the fact that there's no need to change the halakhic living will if you already have one. But at the same time, especially if you are a family caregiver and you're involved with caring for the elders, having a halakhic living will is very important and helpful in assuring that your parent or family member is properly cared for should you not be around and attended to. Perhaps this is an issue that Rabbi Weiss was going to be referring to, but because it had to do with the specifics of the update in the halakhic living will, I thought I should bring it to your attention. Rabbi Weiss, in addition to being the physician, as you know, has lectured in the field of Jewish medical ethics throughout the country. His lectures span from New York, New Jersey, Detroit, Connecticut, and Canada. He's a vice president, board of governors of the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists, and serves as bioethics consultant to the Metropolitan Jewish Geriatric Center in Brooklyn. We are honored to have him here, and we certainly know that he's very committed to this issue. He's been listening to all the program content from its beginning, and we look forward to hearing his hadracha advice and presentation. Rabbi Dr. Weiss.